Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, hello there, and welcome to WTA Weekly. Very, very pleased to have Damien on the show to talk WTA tennis today. Although, obviously, I'm going to get technical with this. Obviously, technically, there wasn't any WTA action this week, but it was all Billie Jean King Cup. But there were still plenty of interesting stories to come out of it. Damien, how are you doing?
Wasn't there a WTA 125? If we really want to be technical about
it. Count?
I mean, it doesn't count as a WTA tour, but it is WTA organized. So I would say there was.
That's a bit like saying the ATP Challenger Tour counts as ATP.
Kind of different, but kind of not. Yeah. I mean, I get your point. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Actually, there was no WTA 125 anyway. So I just checked. So this discussion is completely futile. But yeah, glad to be on the show again. I think it's been a while for me when it comes to the WTA Weekly. But yeah, it's definitely a bit of a weird episode that I'm expecting, right? We're going to just talk Beijing King Cup and probably preview Stuttgart quite a lot. I'm assuming most of the time previews don't take up that much of your show, but today is definitely going to be different.
Yeah, let's see how it goes. I think certainly for this preview, it's going to be very interesting because the Stuttgart draw is very, very stacked. But we will talk about that when we get there. Let's talk about Billie Jean King Cup. Obviously, there were, I think the main headlines for us would be around the World Group and who's qualifying for the finals held at the end of the year. And who, and obviously who, some of the stories from the Europe Africa Group 1 matches that Talking Tennis was covering on the ground. We saw some absolutely brilliant interviews that John managed to get with a few of the players there. So I think that's going to be kind of the focus of discussion for sort of what's kind of been and gone. But overall, I'm going to share sort of the results from the Billie Jean King Cup page, and we can have a look at it. So we already know that in the finals, we have it's already Canada who are the defending champions. We have the finalists last year, for Italy, Czechia is a wild card, and Spain have qualified due to being hosts. But of course, then that means 8 other spots were available for the rest of the team, for the others in sort of the top level. And that's what we're going to be looking at right now. So hopefully, I don't think that's super clear, but we can see it. So yes, yeah, so obviously, few qualifiers, not many super tight ties, but I have to say, looking at the winners from the world from today, I guess my question would be, Damien, were there any surprises for you?
Maybe Great Britain slightly. I don't think it was, you know, some people tried to paint it as like a massive, massive upset because it's indoor clay and stuff. But like Emma is perfectly fine on indoor clay. Katie Bolter, of course, doesn't really have any experience on clay on the pro tour. It's like 20 matches or something like that in her pretty long career already. So maybe in a way, but then again, the French team at the moment is also like pretty, like, I don't know, Karin Garcia, you know, she can be amazing on her day, but she can be absolutely awful. Of course, she only played one singles match as well, sort of indicating a physical issue. Otherwise, did we have any big upsets? I think probably Brazil was hoping for a slightly better result against Germany. I don't know if a win, but that was probably also one of the surprises, if you may. And probably there we kind of have to leave it, although also Ukraine, Romania, sort of tough to maybe estimate whether this was an upset or not, because it's such a weird tie as well. They're playing in like near Orlando, I think, right? So green clay as well, like, yeah, for that reason. But still, if you have Alina Svitolina on your team, you probably expect her to pick up 2 points. And of course, she didn't.
And, you know, I think that was probably the tie of most interest, given that was the only one that went to a deciding doubles. Svitolina and the Ukrainians went 2-0 up on Romania. And then Svitolina unexpectedly lost her match to Anna Bogdan in 3 sets. And that just turned everything around for them. Like, if you have a look at these results here, yeah, it was a 6-4, 4-6, 6-3 win for Bogdan. Bit of an upset. And then that just meant that Romania could kind of get the tie back. Christian coming from a set down against Sorenko, and then Bogdan and Christian beating the Kitchenok sisters in straight sets in the deciding doubles. But it was that Svitolina-Bogdan match that really swung the tie, obviously, because if Svitolina had won it, the tie would have been over. But also, given that Svitolina was the strongest player by reputation and ranking, her losing, her performance kind of affected the outcome.
Oh, absolutely. And just the comeback from 2 matches to Lowdown, that was definitely one of the stories of the week. I don't know if you saw that as well, but Svitolina was complaining about a certain touch call in the deciding doubles as well. She put it on like her social media. She put it on her social media, basically a video of one of the Kitchenok sisters. I'm sorry, I have no idea if it was Nadia or Ludmila. But the ball hit her, and basically the ball, it was coming at her in the net, and the umpire claimed that it touched like both the racket and her stomach or something like that. Svitolina, of course, was trying to argue post-factum, because she was not playing the match, was trying to argue that it's kind of impossible. Tough to say from the video, honestly, but seems like it was also part of the drama in that tie.
I think that's going to have a big difference. And yeah, so controversially then, Romania potentially through. Controversial definitely if you're a Ukraine fan. But Romania in, Kirit highlighting obviously the 3-1 win over Brazil for Germany. You were probably saying it probably wasn't that much of an upset. I mean, if you have a look at the results, you've got Siegmund beating Haddad Meyer in match 1, Maria beating Pagossi in match 2, Haddad Meyer getting Friedschirm in round 4, and then Siegmund getting the job done against Alves. So Lara Siegmund, probably the MVP of that tie.
Yeah, her, but also Maria getting the job done over Pagossi. In general, like, it's pretty funny because we're going to be talking about Stuttgart, and there are these 3 German wildcards there, all 36 years old, and all of them also played this tie. If I remember correctly, last year, Germany also played on indoor clay just before Stuttgart, but it was at home, This time they went to Brazil to play on indoor clay. So it's a pretty funny storyline. But yeah, all in all, obviously the key win here is Zygmunt beating Hadad Maia. That's the one that probably was unexpected. Maria Pigosidin, they have like some battles in Bogota over the years. I guess they might have. But,
yeah, they have. Yeah, that's the one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that one wasn't a surprise for me in the same way. I think it is the Hadad Maia, given obviously she's the current top ranked player. I think Siegmund's won Stuttgart before, so obviously indoor clay she probably likes. But yeah, so not a massive surprise, but obviously Brazil may be a little bit disappointed not to make it through. And then I guess, I mean, like when I was previewing it with Jack, for me, the two ties I highlighted as potential most interesting would be Ukraine-Romania, which obviously did turn out to be very interesting, and France-GB, which you mentioned already. And that was the tie that I actually watched. I didn't actually realize until now that BJK Cup matches are actually available on the website, provided they're not available in your local area. So obviously I took the opportunity to watch Iga play her ties for Poland. Poland's through easily against Switzerland. France GB, I genuinely think that could have gone either way, especially since Raducanu's matches went three sets. Bolter first set against Burrell was a real tussle, could have gone either way. And then I think Bolter winning the first set kind of decided the momentum of the rest of that. Otherwise, it could have been a much closer event. But really, it was, I would say the story of the tie was Raducanu showing up on clay, to be honest, which we haven't had an awful lot of data about Emma on clay up to this point, but maybe it's starting to suggest that clay might actually work for her.
Indoors. We're still talking about indoors. And she did look fine in Stuttgart, whatever the year was, 2022, I guess. Mm. Madrid as well, she was really good at. I still kind of want to see her, you know, on the slower events. But of course, we've said that many times. On the WTA, there's this weird thing right now where, like, basically you have four big clay events. Two of them are on, like, indoor or fast clay. Two of them only are on slow clay, including the most important one. So if you're only good in Stuttgart and Madrid, you're still pretty much, you know, going to earn a lot of points. So yeah, it's a great start for her. Any wins really right now, just picking up two solid wins for her country ahead of Stuttgart. I think it's a fantastic lead up for her. I just realized, by the way, I mentioned that Stuttgart tie last year for Germany, it was also against Brazil. So it's pretty funny because they played last year in Stuttgart on indoor clay and this time in Sao Paulo on indoor clay. But anyway, yeah, Great Britain, that was a bit of a surprise, perhaps given the Raducanu and Bolter lack of clay experience. But at the same time, you just kind of know that the French team is also not at its strongest at the moment, right?
I mean, I thought Parry was playing pretty well. I mean, she knocked Bolter out the park she won 12 games in a row against Bolter in her opening match. And then first set against Raducanu was really competitive, and then Raducanu went up a gear. I thought was really hitting with some conviction, probably more conviction than I've seen from her for a long time. And Parry didn't really know what really to do about it in that situation, but fought back, got it to a tie break in the decider. And I thought actually Diane Parry stepped on pretty well. I know that she's showed some limitations, but I do really enjoy watching her game. And I think it was a closer tie than maybe suggested, and the French didn't play that badly. It was just, I think the Brits were, again, a rematch, right? We talk about Germany-Brazil rematch. France and GB rematch from last year, same stage. I actually went to watch that one in Coventry, which was an indoor hard court, and the French came and beat us in our backyard, and the Brits have gone over and done the same to the French.
Yeah, the twists are there everywhere. Well, in terms of Germany-Brazil, I guess it was the same result both times. But in general, yeah, France-Great Britain definitely seemed like sort of the main tie of this round, I think. The one that everyone was pretty excited about. Maybe also because, yeah, Bolter, Raducanu, we haven't seen them much on clay. And yeah, Parry has been having a very solid season, absolutely. keeping the one-hander alive on the women's side. So for that, we have to forever be grateful.
I really enjoy watching not only the one-hander, but also a heavy topspin forehand. I mean, it's a game built for clay, let's be honest.
Pretty much, although she does slice it on as well.
Which works on clay. I can see why her two kind of big wins have come, like her two kind of main headlines for her career have come at RG, and I expect her to be a factor again. She's kind of like maybe the Gaston of the WTA tour, except a bit more consistent.
Wow. I don't know, you know, in which sort of way this analogy is hurtful, probably towards Diane Perry, given that Olga Stone is right now like a 6-match losing streak. But no, I mean, probably less crazy than Olga Stone, but I get what you mean.
All right, just to wrap up on the finals then. So obviously we've got our finals lineup. It's these 8 countries plus Canada, Italy, Czechia, Spain, and then just to read out in case people can't see everything, but it's Australia, Poland, GB, USA, Japan, Germany, Slovakia, and Romania. Obviously, depending on which players appear for those countries, I would say that's a really strong lineup for the Billie Jean King Cup finals when they come round in sort of October, November time.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, this time we have the WTA finals in Riyadh, so it is slightly more doable to play in Seville later. That's going to be a massive deal breaker for a lot of this, but mostly for Poland, it seems, because, like, you know, from one of the favorites to basically one of the worst teams, that's kind of depending on whether Świątek plays, right? United States, I mean, you have so much depth. Czech Republic, you have so much depth. So we are kind of sure that these countries are going to bring a solid team, right? And otherwise, of course, last year we had some surprises as well. I mean, Canada, Italy. In fact, just a couple of days ago, I was chatting to this friend of mine who's like a very casual tennis fan. And Poland was playing the Beijing King Cup qualifier against Switzerland. And so he asked me which country won last year. And I'm like, Canada. And he, what? He went, what? They have players? And I'm like, Fernandez, Stakusic. And he of course said that, and he heard about the first one, but the second, not really. And that makes sense. I mean, that was kind of the surprise of the Beijing King Cup last year. So I guess, you know, it can happen again, right? In these scenarios, there's always been players who just step up to the challenge more.
I mean, yeah, if Andreescu was fit, Canada would have a really strong singles lineup. If you had Fernandez and Andreescu, that would be a tough battle. Like, even if they weren't, even when they're not in form, they're very kind of hard to beat. You have to really work to get a win over them because they'll keep going. But obviously Andreescu isn't fit right now, so it's kind of that big what if. So, and obviously they did it without her last year. And obviously they've got really good doubles pedigree. So I don't think it's a massive surprise. But I do agree with you. Obviously, it goes depending on, like, Poland needing a Świątek to have a chance of winning it. And as Kirit's saying in the chat, Iga's probably not going to be available, because getting from Riyadh to Seville really quickly is going to be a challenge. And I suspect anyone who's in the WTA finals, so I'm thinking the US is going to be in a similar position, with Goff, probably we'll wait and see on Pegula, depending on how the year goes. But, you know, I think that's where...
If you really want to, it's doable. Let's say that. You might not play the first match, for example. You might only play the second. But if you really want to, it's doable. Will she want to? Let's see. I mean, I'm definitely not on that team who just says, you know, she has to play for the country. To me, it's definitely not part of her duties. But, I mean, it would be cool if she played. I mean, we're getting there for the third time since 2022, right, already. So for the third time in a row, in fact. And we still haven't seen Świątek at the Beijing King Cup Finals. And this year, it's the easiest it's been, considering that, you know, the last 2 years it was in Cancun and Fort Worth.
Yeah, which is probably even worse, transition than Riyadh. At least it's Riyadh's a slightly closer, but still quite a bit of a plane ride. So there's that, I suppose, but it's still not ideal. The one that's kind of interesting me is Japan and whether Osaka plays, because I think there's a part of me that could see her being motivated to maybe get a Billie Jean King Cup for Japan and getting some nice match wins under her belt. But I guess that depends on how the rest of the season pans out.
Yeah, I mean, not much of a reason for her to skip it, I guess, unless she's in the WTA finals.
Not impossible, because she can win the US Open and then get herself in that way.
Yeah, of course. Can she sort of get it with the team that they have? Maybe. I mean, slight problem on the number two singles, I suppose, which for now was actually number one singles. But the doubles is always going to be good with Aoyama, Shibahara, or even Kato. So yeah, it's going to be a pretty strong team with Naomi on, especially if she like keeps going up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before I move on to doing a Stuttgart preview, I did want to touch on the Europe Africa Group 1 matches, because we had some great interviews coming out of there from John with a few few players, and you know, it was really nice to get to know some of them. So obviously we had Suzanne Lemmens from the Netherlands, who just beat Ostapenko. I think actually tends to get people who literally just had tough matches with top 10 opponents like Ostapenko.
I am Francisca George, and I'm a friend of the show.
Perfect. Thanks.
Francisca George as well, from Portugal. But I think that group was definitely characterized by a lot of by sort of some underdog players making their names known by getting some either wins or running close top 10 players. And Clara Towson also having a good performance, as Kirit is reminding us.
I mean, it's Clara Towson, right? If she's going to be healthy, she's going to have good performances everywhere. So that's kind of not surprising to me. But yeah, the stories with like Wozniacki first being sick, then of course Ostapenko struggling in like every match, that was definitely something that sort of went through to the mainstream tennis media as well. And of course, part of that was the talking tennis coverage. Ostapenko kind of saying, you know, these matches would be different if not for the Davis Cup, I mean, Billie Jean Cup setting. We're going to see what sort of form we'll see her in Stuttgart next week. But these were some pretty rough performances from her. Let's definitely agree on that.
Yes. And I think that's obviously, I mean, look, maybe we shouldn't read too much into it, but it does concern me for Ostapenko that she's gotten herself into scraps with very low ranked players very early on in clay. But as you say, let's wait and see. It would be obviously Stuttgart, different conditions, maybe more suited to her, but she's got a tough first round draw there, which we'll go into. But yeah, in terms of results from Group One, the Netherlands, first place into the playoffs, then Austria, then Serbia, and then Denmark managing to get the fourth spot by beating Greece and Latvia. Again, mainly carried by Clara Towson. And maybe if Wozniacki is fit, Towson Wozniacki could get them into some qualify spots.
Well, that's a super strong team. I'm not sure, honestly, if they have anyone for the doubles. I mean, this time they played, let's say, a pretty weak team. But maybe if there was a very important tie they have to win and they're both fit, maybe just Wozniacki Towson play. And like, it could be a singles doubles pairing that just works. It would be very exciting to see this, of course, with this sort of generational, not battle in this case, but like cooperation between Towson and Wozniacki, and the same sort of whenever we've had some mixed doubles teams recently from Denmark, and you know, either of them interacting with Rune, like it's definitely something very exciting for a country which pretty much has like three to up to five top level players.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Denmark is certainly solidifying itself as a as an established tennis nation, or continuing to, if you look kind of back in their history. But yeah, that's Billie Jean King Cup.
Stop the lies, by the way. What does it mean, boring, Jake?
Wow.
John didn't hit through the ball until we started sort of just like, yeah, free hitting some balls after the entire match. And I would be entertaining to watch if I had better quality.
I'm saying John was tight.
No, I'm just saying John doesn't trust his shots, I guess. He's kind of like Dominic Thiem, you know. In warm-ups, in practice, he's going to hit through it. He's going to have the heaviness, but not really in the match. But him calling me boring after that match is just outrageous. That's all I wanted to say.
Now, having seen the footage of you two taking each other on in Portugal, I have to say I was interested to see how you were both like your heavy topspin forehands and your single-handed backhands.
John, single-handed? John has a two-handed.
Single-handed from the angle I was watching.
No. So you've actually seen the footage, because John still hasn't sent it to me.
You showed some of it after a stream, and I happened to put it.
No. John has a two-hander. Okay. But well, you know, he was mostly defending the entire.
Yeah, he looked like he was slicing a lot.
Yeah, trying to survive, you know, against the weaponry.
This is fighting talk. Okay, are we talking like, is this Federer on clay we're talking here?
I think, unfortunately, the nickname Polish Federer is already taken. Michał Przysiężny, the former Polish number 57, had that because of his one-hander. But you know, I can kind of be the successor of this, maybe. Playstyle wise, I would say it's pretty similar. Like, you know, I try not to leave the baseline, but that's really kind of where the comparison stops, you know.
Yeah, I would definitely say that you capitalized on John's level. That's
No comment.
I mean, look, you got to play the opponent, and you did so perfectly.
No, I mean, I just came out and played like anyone else was on the other side of the net. Like, I didn't really think about it being John or what he was doing. Like, I just really played whatever I wanted the entire match. So that's kind of maybe where it went wrong for John, of course. I did not have to adjust whatsoever to anything really that was happening. Just, that was... you know, got out, played 90% of the shots off my forehand, and I won.
There was a lot of running around to hitting the forehand.
Yeah. I mean, I always play like inside the court, trying to run around everything. So, yeah.
Okay. So, tactic to beat Damien, hit everything into his backhand wing until he opens enough space to go cross court.
Could be. Probably more so still play very deep to that backhand and just hope it's Shanks, hope, you know, Stefanos Tsitsipas. Hope it becomes a Stefanos Tsitsipas thing. But well, John did not have the power to target it. Oh no,
it's up for members only.
I think so. Yes.
Yes. So I
guess maybe one day, you know, maybe one day.
Hopefully, this is enough encouragement that if you want to be a member, this is the kind of rewards that you get. To be able to see the talking tennis stars take each other on the court. I mean, I'm quite glad that I'm not there because I'm not playing, because that would be a six love loss on my part.
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to check it out, you know. Maybe one day the tournament of talking tennis can actually happen. The
Talking Tennis Open.
Yeah.
Complete with plastic trophy. No expense spared.
It would be amazing. Obviously, it was hard enough to get two people in one place. And getting like 15 or 20 would be even tougher. But
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Anyway, let's talk about Stuttgart, I guess.
let's talk about a tournament that has a somewhat slightly more tantalizing prize, a Porsche. Having said that, now we're talking about tantalizing prizes and there being a Porsche. I mean, winning it. I mean, to be honest, I think the Stuttgart field is stacked, and that massively excites me. Like, it's the kind of, like, if they have this kind of field again next year, I want to go. Yeah, at the minute, the Porsches are always seem to be given to the person on screen right now, Iga Świątek.
She's pretty guaranteed that they have this field, right? Like, pretty guaranteed that they will have this sort of field, I think. Because why wouldn't they? Like, you know, it's the way it's placed in the calendar has to be that. But yeah, Iga Świątek, of course, still unbeaten at the venue. I'm actually kind of surprised every single time I think about this because, well, it's slick, it's pretty fast for clay, right? But, I mean, she's beaten her fair amount of top players. Obviously, Sabalenka in both finals, Jaber, Pliskova. Had a very tough one against Samsonova and still pulled through, so obviously, she's the main favorite, but if we look into her draw, it might not be that easy. And I've seen a lot of comments on Twitter since when the draw was made that basically they're just repeating the same draw from Indian Wells, Australian Open and stuff. And also someone, for example, asking the tournament organizers, I thought you liked Iga. Why don't you give her an easier draw?
This year, although I will say, even as someone who likes Iga, I have to say that, like, some of her draws in the last sort of 2023, 2022 were also pretty samey, but against players that she was pretty comfortable against, like Jessica Pegula or Coco Gauff, Christina Buxer a few times. I think that, yeah, she's getting these tough draws now, but it's kind of bouncing out. That being said, I do find it very odd that it does seem to be the same sort of players again. I mean, like, if you look at her draw, yeah, first round shouldn't be a concern for her against either Tatiana Maria or Elise Mertens. She'd be able to overpower either of them. But it's highly likely that quarterfinal is going to be Noshkova or Ostapenko, two of her nemesis from the last sort of year or so.
Yeah, Ostapenko is probably the bigger issue given, you know, the 0-4 that the head-to-head stands at currently. That's definitely the one that I would like to see and sort of, yeah, just check out how she handles it this time. Noshkova, yeah, 3 matches this year already. Basically, all of them are pretty tough. Like, even Indian Wells, 4-2, break points up. I mean, it's pretty tough, but I don't know. We've just seen it 3 times this year and, you know, I'd rather check out whether the Ostapenko head-to-head stays because it's definitely a funky start for now. For what it's worth, Iga actually has a pretty manageable first round draw, like second round for her. I mean, first match for her, second round. So, you know, it's only really the quarterfinals where the issues or, you know, might start.
And then Rybakina potential in the semifinals. And looking at Rybakina's section, I would put her as the heavy favorite to come through that.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Kudermetova, Krejcikova, definitely not on top of their games at the moment. Same with Jaber. Alexandrova, Rybakina, that would be a huge peak hitting contest in the quarters. Rybakina has already lost to Alexandrova this year.
True. Alexandrova could spring another surprise. And obviously has already beat Iga earlier this year. Certainly, I think there's only been one contest they've played where she's never taken a set off Iga. Not an ideal lineup for the poll there. They have placed the qualifiers now, by the way, and Paolini's got Sara Rani in the opening round. Probably for Paolini, that one.
The legend. Speaking of iconic head-to-heads, recently upped her one with Sariba Stormo to 7-0, Sara Rani. I don't think it really has much of an impact on her in this event, though. And yeah, I mean, even if she gets to the semis, you know, she wouldn't be that big a threat. But certainly a fine win for her against Kalinskaya today in the final.
Yeah, slight surprise Kalinskaya didn't qualify, actually.
Me too. Seemed like a very good card for her. I know maybe she's like not that, she's not that versatile when it comes to clay, but Stuttgart, the sleek indoor surface, seemed perfect. Yeah, we mentioned earlier that that Ostapenko had a very weak Beijing King Cup. Herself, she tried to explain it with, like, you know, the Beijing King Cup scenario, the team competitions, or everything that sort of goes along with that, the extra pressure, the way that the underdogs tend to just, you know, just step up for these things. She tried to explain it with that. Kind of know when we see it. But yeah, I mean, Ostapenko is, of course, in no way a guarantee to make the quarters. I mean, she never really is a guarantee, but maybe it's going to be Raducanu, maybe it's going to be Noshkova.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that is possible. I think, like, again, if we go back to sort of Iga's section, I mean, I think based on Billie Jean King Cup, I actually think Noshkova is going to be Ostapenko. And I think that Noshkova would be favourite against either Kerber or Raducanu. It does depend on which Raducanu shows up to a certain extent. But Kerber, Raducanu, I'm finding it hard to call which way that one's going to go.
I like Emma's chances. I mean, after the French indoor clay breakthrough. But obviously, Kerber is a player who's just returning, so we are expecting a sudden, like, we are expecting a gradual increase in her level, let's say. But still, I mean, when they went to Brazil, she wasn't playing singles, right? It was Zygmunt and Fritzam and Maria, right? So that kind of tells you something as well. She didn't, either her captain or herself, she herself didn't feel that comfortable with her level, I suppose. I don't know. Emma is definitely the favorite, but obviously it's nothing prohibitive.
And like Kerber as well. Like Kerber's had a decent run at Indian Wells. Obviously, she likes Stuttgart. She's going to have the crowd support. And she can be very frustrating to play, especially if you're someone who likes to be on front foot tennis. And if it keeps coming back with interest, then I could see that being frustrating for someone like Emma. That being said, you know, she coped pretty well against Fernandez at the US Open final in 21. In sort of very similar play style. Yeah, I think it's going to be a motivated Kerber that she's facing. But yeah, I think that's what I'm kind of going with. But you're right, like that Billie Jean King Cup, those Billie Jean King Cup wins will give Emma a lot of confidence going into that. Yeah, looking at the other section, I think we kind of commented on it. I don't have high hopes for Krejcikova or Jabeur. Krejcikova is coming straight back off injury, so she's going to be pretty rusty. Jabeur, I mean, like, she had a decent match in Charleston, but so I could see her potentially winning against Alexandrova. She's kind of fit again. But it's going to be all about the confidence for Ons.
Yeah, it's tough with Ons right now, but like already Alexandrova round one, that's nasty. That's just, you don't want to play that at all in your opening round. I know Ons is very strong on clay, but also made that run in Stuttgart last year until she got injured. But yeah, that's like precisely the opponent you don't want to see in your opening round, I think. She still has a very good record. Alexandrova has a very good record against Ons as well. And it's 6-2. Lots of ITF matches early on in their careers. Recently, maybe not so much. I mean, recently, the only one in 2022 in Madrid was won by Jabeur. But still, I mean, the sort of lack of rhythm that Alexandrova brings to the table, that's nasty in your opening round. She's actually even the betting favorite in that match, and I would agree with that for sure.
I think on balance, I agree with that. Okay, section three, the Goff section. So in there as well as Zhongqin Wen, Sorana Kostaya, Marta Kostyuk, Lara Siegmund, Sasha Vickery and Alexandra Sastavich will play each other. The two qualifiers who've been drawn against each other in that section with the winner to play Goff. Sastavich and Vickery kind of underdog wins through qualifying. Obviously, Sasha Vickery beating Greet Minnen and Sastavich beating Ercin Dodan. Maybe not quite underdog, but certainly seeding wise anyway, but maybe a bit more closely matched than that suggests. Overall in that section, Xiong has gone well here in the past. If she's kind of, I know she's had a bit of a rough patch recently, but she might be comfortable here. That said, Castea's a nasty draw first round. I could see Castea being quite comfortable here. And I think Kostyuk's going to want to do some damage in this draw as well.
Yeah, Kipstea and Kipstea-Zheng and Aleksandrova Jabeur is kind of like the main two examples we have of this draw being extremely brutal. As you said, Kinven had a nice run. She took a set. She didn't take a set eventually. She had a win here last year and was playing okay. Probably conditions that suit her as well. But just after her recent losses, it's just a bit of a mystery. She did go play Beijing King Cup as well, and she only won. She only lost one game in two matches, but it wasn't against top quality opposition, let's say. Oh, Ankita Raina double bagel in here. That's not horrible at all. So I would expect her to be pretty dangerous, but yeah, this is just a nasty draw for her for sure. Couple of contenders definitely in this section to maybe mess up Coco to Laura Zygmunt, as you said, sort of 30 minutes ago. She won this event in the past. She made the final in it. She would always like kind of peek at this one and just show so much creative tennis as well. So it's definitely one of these sections that just really tell you, okay, this is a stack draw.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that out of the four seeds, Goff is the one I'm least confident about making the semis. I could see her having a battle. Like I think she makes the quarters, but I could see her running into trouble against someone like Xiong or Kostyuk.
Yeah, I mean, even if we have like peak Sasnovich, which happens twice a year these days, but why not? But maybe, yeah. Kostyuk, Zygmunt, Zheng, Kirstea, any of these opponents really in the quarters. That's a big issue, I think, on these courts.
And then the last section of the draw, pretty big in terms of the hitters that are there, actually. Obviously, we've got Sabalenka, who has lost the last three Stuttgart finals and is that Porsche has been tantalizingly close for her on multiple occasions. But we've got Vondrousova playing Vekic, Samsonova playing Potapova. That's going to be a big hitting clash. Schneider Badosa as well. Schneider's qualified. All really, really good matches, and some of them really hard to call which way they're going to go, actually.
Yeah, Vondroušová is like kind of still high in the rankings, but obviously that's mostly Wimbledon, and she is kind of due for a big drop-off. I mean, currently it's over 50% of her ranking, that Wimbledon title. So without it, she would be around 28, 27 in the rankings. And that kind of tells you everything you need to know. Like, you know, she's not really been at that top 10 level since Samsonova, maybe. I mean, I always mention that match in Stuttgart 2022, when she was pretty much the closest, the toughest battle that Świątek had in her 37 match win streak. So I think, again, that's someone who in these sleeker clay conditions is very, very strong. And especially with the addition of Diana Schneider right now, this is just another section that looks extremely troubling for anyone, really.
Yeah. How much of a threat do you see any of these players posing to Sabalenka before the semifinals?
Well, why not? You've got Sabalenka, who basically hasn't won matches since the Australian Open. She's going to play, well, if it's a healthy Badosa, if it's Schneider especially right away, that's rough. It's not exactly last year when, even though she got Krejcikova in the second round, which at the time was just a nightmare draw, she managed to handle that easily, and she was in such good rhythm going into Stuttgart. That's not really a thing right now. And also, yeah, I have to agree with that. I mean, Vekic is pretty much good on all surfaces anyway, but like if we're talking about the potential for her to do something in this event, in this one, she definitely can be a threat. This should not be perceived as like Roland Garros Rome type of play.
Yeah.
Vekic already beat Sabalenka as well this year, right? I mean, I know maybe it wasn't the best match from Marina, but still.
I was thinking about Sabalenka's records, like since the Aussie Open, I think it's 3-3. 3 wins, 3 losses. So it, I
one
think
of them over Badosa, by the way, which might come into play here.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see if it's Badosa or Shinoda she deals with. But yeah, I mean, like looking at this, I think I have an idea of where things might go, but they're really good players. I mean, going back to Vondrousheva, I think this clay season is going to be make or break for her because clay is her preferred surface. Probably more going to be Rome and Roland Garros than Stuttgart and Madrid because her game's probably better for the slower stuff. But yeah, I think that's... but so it's going to depend on like how she feels on Stuttgart clay. Samsonova Potapova, the way Samsonova's going, I would say Potapova beats Samsonova with the way she's been playing at the minute. And I think Potapova's got to the quarters here last year, missed...
Did you get distracted by Nuland?
Potapova's beaten Goff before.
Goff, yeah.
Yeah.
It was Goff. I mean, look,
we all get distracted by Nuland. That's kind of how I'm seeing this section playing out. So, yeah, I think this is going to be one of the hardest draws to make predictions from because the two players who I would say would the most obvious favorites have really sticky draws.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of the thing for the most of the draw in general, which I think, that's why it's nice for Świątek to have at least one match, which seems slower. But Sabalenka doesn't have that. Goff maybe has that, but then the quarters is rather rough too. And yeah, maybe Rybakina has that, but that's only because her potential opponents, it's big names, right? But they maybe haven't been doing that well recently. But all in all, I mean, of course, this is all pretty tough. I will sort of give you a prediction right now, and that it's not a bold prediction. I'm just going to say that, like, that maybe the more important rounds for Świątek would be the semis and the quarters than the final. I think if she makes the final, she's going to win, for sure.
Even if it's against Sabalenka?
Yeah.
Okay. Third year in a row, she beat Sabalenka on the same court, a la Nadal and Roger.
Sabalenka wants that Porsche. You know? Sabalenka wants that Porsche. I don't know. Maybe she wants it too much.
Maybe. I mean, like, let's face it. Who wouldn't want a Porsche? I mean, like, if a Porsche was on the line between you and John in your match, do you think John would have played better?
Maybe not. Maybe it would be even more pressure on him. Maybe I would feel more pressure. I don't know. Sean Andreeva has been injured for a while now.
We're going to come on back to Andreeva, actually, but I do want to...
As long as we're talking about Mirna, by the way, not Erika.
Stuttgart, I'm going to make a... I'm going to say this now because I think I've seen her name pop up in the chat. From Jean. I think Rybakina might be pretty happy with this draw. I think she could be on for stealing this title. Getting another 500 win. She's got a decent draw. I would back her to beat any of the people. I don't have any reason to believe that she isn't healthy. And against Świątek in these conditions, she'll fancy her chances.
She was perfectly fine in Miami when it comes to her health. Absolutely. Yeah. Last 2 years in Stuttgart, she loses to Badosa, but that was a good thriller. And then last year, she retired against Hadadmaya. But yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, she is extremely dangerous, which is why I actually think that, yeah, that semi-quarter, these are the problem rounds for Świątek, maybe even more so than the final, because it seems that most of the favorites are actually in the top half. And by the way, Andreeva is actually playing this week, right?
She is playing in Rouen.
Yeah, that's going to be the first appearance since ages, so...
Yeah, so, and that's why I wanted to move on, because obviously, Parker for a bit, because obviously, different tournament.
But, yeah.
We do have a 250 going on in Rouen at the same time. I don't think it's going to get the attention, but I do think in terms of the players, like the top seeds are Pavlyuchenkova, Garcia, Kalinina, and then Andreeva seeded fifth, Stone Stevens is seeded sixth. The main talking points from this tournament are going to be, how's Andreeva going to do? Because she's seeded fifth. She's got Nadia Podoroska in round one. Obviously, there's that sort of fitness question she's got at the minute. And then the other question is, how does Naomi Osaka get on? She's going to fly over from Japan, first match on clay, and it's against Martina Trevisan. So Andreeva and Osaka are the two names people are going to be watching.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've definitely missed Andreeva the last couple of months. This year in general hasn't gone that well for her. And Osaka, as we said, I mean, she's improving, but she kind of needs some big results too. Obviously, the clay isn't maybe the best for her, but again, it's like indoor clay, maybe. It's not impossible for her to succeed indoors, especially, I think. So even though over the years she did put some work into her clay game, but it never really turned into something. There's also Pliskova, who's been in very strong form. I want to see how she goes. Still pretty wild to see someone like UA1 at fourth seed, but I mean, obviously I've been a bit of a fan, so top 50. Absolutely nice. Just pretty weird to see her seeded in the top four at the WT Tour event. But kudos to her for the big rounds this year. But yeah, Andreeva, Osaka, that's probably the main stories here. Yes,
I'm struggling to call. I think Andreeva's gonna beat Podoroska. I'm not sure which way to call the Trevisan Osaka match, because that's really going to depend on which Martina Trevisan shows up.
Yeah, I mean, Osaka on clay, have we seen her, like, you know, how many years has it been? Let me see. About 2022. But the last time we did, she was still moving horribly on clay courts. I don't know if much has improved. But then again, have we also seen her playing on indoor clay, really? I mean, Stuttgart probably at some point.
Osaka on clay, I haven't looked up her record. I know it's not amazing. Indoor clay for Trevisan may not suit her in the same way. It's hard to call. I'm seeing some questions, some stuff in the chat I like the look of. So Kirit's calling Elisabetta Cotrieto to upset Caroline Garcia in round one. I don't think that would be a surprise if Garcia's potentially got suffering some kind of physical issue that caused him to withdraw from Billie Jean King Cup. And Nerland's asking about Katie Vollinets. Nerland, I believe Katie is not in... She's not playing in either of these tournaments. She is going to be ranked 104 on Monday, which would put her, in theory, in place for a Roland Garros main draw qualification. But obviously that does depend on how she does, like how many protected rankings enter and then how many players withdraw.
Likely not. I mean, 104 is pretty tricky.
Yeah. So like on paper, should get in, but then the protected ranking system kind of messes things up for her. For Roland Garros.
And yes, Jean, it is indoor clay, yeah. Rouen is also on indoor clay.
Yeah. So sadly, no Vollinets action this week, though, at least on the main WTA Tour. I'm just having a look at, there's some Polish interest in both draws though, because Świątek's in Stuttgart and Lynette's playing in Rouen. She's got Elisa Giacomo in round one.
Yeah, not much to say. I mean, we all saw what sort of form Magdalena has brought to this season. Can she break out of this? We'll see. She was actually at first nominated to play Billie Jean King Cup. And she got quite a lot of hate on the Polish internet, social media, for skipping it. Because at first they announced that there was no, there's a family issue or something like that. Like she, you know, family reasons, she's pulling out of that. And then she shows up in Rouen on the same day. Like she's already practicing when we are playing the first day against Switzerland. Fine. I feel like these arguments are completely stupid because, well, first of all, Magdalena has played a billion Billie Jean King Cup matches in the last few years and has been, you know, the main star of the team when Iga wasn't around. Plus, with Iga and Frank, Like, she would be number three singles. So
yeah,
why would she show up? Like, you know, she wasn't needed. Like, even if she wasn't there, I don't know, something happens to Świątek or to Frank, we still had Kawa. You know, Linette is really not in good form right now. So I think it's perfectly fine for her to do something like this. Maybe there was indeed some family reasons, I don't know. But anyway, the hate was definitely not justified for me. Was there indoor clay on the men's? I don't remember. It says Sean. Presently, I don't think we have it. There was the São Paulo event, which used to be like 5 years indoors, then 2 years outdoors, then 2 years indoors. Then they finally cut it off the schedule. We have two challengers in indoor clay at the moment, Sekeshwar and Varmaya, but on the main tour, we currently don't have any events like that.
And yet there's two in the same week on the WTA tour. And so that's what we're going to be enjoying. I think that's everything we can talk about WTA-wise this week. Thanks for coming on, Damien, and helping us break down everything that's happening in Billie Jean King Cup and this crazy Stuttgart draw and looking a little bit of room as well.
Yeah, Maja Chwalińska got to play Skirit. Yeah, only in doubles, but she did. Probably an important moment for her. All in all, the Poland-Switzerland tie was, of course, not too great. But
it wasn't a chance. Yeah. I mean, actually, what did you make of? I don't know how much of the Poland tie you watched. What did you make of Celine?
A little.
Again, I mean, I felt like.
Is it the first time we see her on the big stage doing something? Of course not. I feel like it's still quite early to talk about maybe, you know, potential to be like a massive.
Yeah, and I'm not going to make predictions for her career, but I thought she showed promising signs of having a good career anyway during that match. Like, don't get me wrong, Świątek was clearly the better player, and whenever Świątek was anything like hitting the ball well, she was the dominant player. But Neef was in there to disrupt every now and again, and showed some solid shots.
She had a very, very strong beginning to her pro career, basically like winning ITF after ITF. Now that she's playing like against higher quality opposition, she's kind of stuck around that like 150 range. We'll see what she can do about that. But well, Switzerland kind of had this weird situation, right, where they had like three or four players and they were all at the same level. Like, you couldn't tell who they are going to bring out in singles. Golubic eventually withdrew with an injury, but clearly Neff was a fine number one choice, absolutely. If she is the best player that they had in this situation, with Teichmann being out of form, with Bencic being pregnant, I guess, and with Golubic injured, but yeah. I don't think it was anything groundbreaking for her, really. But, you know, it's a nice experience to play against the number one. Produce a decent showing, at least, you know. It wasn't like when Świątek played in 2022, Fed Cup against
beatdown
Romania. Yeah, Prisakariu, no games, and Puzanescu, one game, I think. So it definitely wasn't that, you know. And you can already take some confidence out of that. Was the surface, the court in Biel, was it phenomenal? Probably not either. But, you know, they had to try everything, right? They had to try everything. And I understand that they maybe tried to make it a little bit more random.
All right. Well, we've ended this episode talking about Iga. I wonder if next week will be all about Iga or whether we'll be all about Elena or Arena or anyone else after Stuttgart. And we will be obviously bringing you plenty of behind the scenes press conferences, hopefully some interviews from Stuttgart. And we've got John there. He's going to be bringing us lots of great content, as he did from Billie Jean King Cup in Portugal. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what we get from there. So if you are a fan of any of the main players, we're definitely the channel to be following for that. And obviously we'll be hopefully bring you some live streams from Stuttgart or Barcelona. Who knows, but stay tuned to see what happens with that. And are you on ATP weekly tomorrow, Damien?
Yeah, likely 11:30 a.m. Central European time, which would be in like 13 hours from here. So yeah, of course, that's also something you guys should check out tomorrow. I think it's going to be me and Mario.
Yeah. Damon and Mario will break down everything from Monte Carlo and look ahead to Barcelona and the return of Rafael Nadal. And I will be back next week for WTA Weekly. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in Stuttgart this week. And I'm looking forward to talking about it with all you guys when that comes back round. So I'll see you then. But in the meantime, take care and keep talking tennis.
If you enjoyed this video, make sure you hit that like button. Don't forget to subscribe and click that notification bell so you don't miss out on all things tennis.
Ready? Play.
I want one more thing from you, Francesca. Can you look at the camera? And I want you to say, I am Francesca Giorgi, and I am a friend of the show. Can you try it?
I am Francesca Giorgi, and I'm a friend. Wait.
Go. It's okay.
I'm Francesca Giorgi, and I'm a fan of the show.
One more time. Can you say, I'm a friend of the show?
Friend.
Like amigo.
Friend.
So, because we joke, we have players come on all the time, they have no idea, but after they've been on, we say, oh, Yelena Ostapenko is a friend of the show. She has no idea. But so if we get you to say, I am Francesca Giorgi, or how you say your name, and I'm a friend of the
show. I am Francesca Giorgi, and I'm a friend of the show.
Perfect. Thanks,
I just want you to do me one more thing. I want you to hold the microphone. I want you to look in the... Don't be nervous. I mean, listen, you've just beaten Elaine Ostapenko.
I'm not nervous.
No, you shouldn't be. If you can beat Ostapenko twice in one day, you can do this for sure. I want you to look at the camera and just say, hi, my name is... Say your name and then say, and I'm a friend of the show.
Friend of the show?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, my name is Susan and I'm a friend of the show.
Say your whole name for me. That's the only thing. I want.
Sorry.
Surname too. No, you're doing great.
You're cutting,
great.
Huh?
Yeah, oh, I'll cut it up. Don't worry. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Susan Lehmans and I'm a friend of the show.
Thank you very much, Susan.
You're welcome.
Good luck for the rest of the tournament.
Thank you.
And I will tag you on Instagram and you can reject. I do have one more tiny thing, which is I want you to look into the camera.
Yeah.
I want you to say your name.
Yes.
And I want you to say, I am a friend of the show.
I'm a friend of the show. Okay.
Perfect, yeah.
My name is Zeynep Sönmez and I'm a friend of the show.
Boom.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much.
Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.